Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for the eighth Sunday after Pentecost comes from our gospel reading of Matthew. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field, but while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also. And the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, "Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds?" And he said to them, "An enemy has done this." So the servants said to him, "Then do you want us to go and gather them?" Thus far the text. In the name of Jesus. So last week, Jesus started teaching in parables. He hadn't done this quite yet, so it comes off a little bit strange and weird to the crowd and to the disciples. And it's not that it was so strange to hear examples or analogies. That type of teaching had been around for ages. Parents and teachers engage in this all the time, don't we? The metaphor or simile or analogy or story, they just all help to clarify the point that we're trying to get across. So yeah, go ahead, Jesus, teach to us in parables. The problem is, Jesus and his parables don't really make practical sense to us. There's always something within them that leaves us scratching our heads and wanting a point of clarification. I wish our reading from last week would have included a couple verses that it left out, verses 10 through 15, because it's there that Jesus tells us why he teaches in parables. His parables are mysteries. He tells them in order to keep certain things hidden from human reason and logic. He tells them so that in the end, at the end of the day, we can't turn them into happy little moral platitudes, although we try to all the time, or use them to bludgeon our enemies over the head, and we do that just as often as we do to those moral platitude things. So Jesus tells us and tells his disciples parables so that we can know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. But there's only one little problem with that. His disciples are never in and of themselves able to grasp the secret. Last week we had a sower who indiscriminately threw out his seed, let it fall wherever it may. No crop rotation, increased irrigation, or integrated pest management. Just throw caution to the wind, let the crops rise up wherever they land. And next week, we're going to hear about a foolish man selling everything that he has just to buy one pearl. And this week, another sower lets weeds grow up in his field. And these are not even accidental weeds, but weeds sown there by his enemy. And this man knows it. He knows that the enemy did this, and he doesn't really seem to even care. "Just wait until harvest," he says. "It'll all be sorted out in the end." Now, I'm no farmer, but that seems strange. And not just strange, but counterproductive. It's no wonder why the disciples asked Jesus to explain this parable once they're all alone. So let's go ahead and dig into it, shall we? Without Jesus' explanation, it seems strange enough and hard to understand, but it's even difficult to be okay with this parable even after Jesus explains it. A man, he goes out into his field with good grain, and his enemy sows weeds right on top of it. And the weeds, they're no ordinary weeds, easily identifiable from the wheat. The Greek would have us know that these are a certain type of weed. It's probably a darnel. It's a weed that almost looks identical early on to wheat. It's not until the time in which the plants produce their grain that the difference can be seen. It's the fruit that looks different. But now it's too late to rip out all of those weeds because in so doing, wheat might be uprooted as well. But his servants, of course, are an ambitious bunch, surely wanting to please their master. "Didn't you sow good seed? Why are there weeds now? An enemy sowed them. How deviously destructive. Let us go out and rid your field of the weeds, Lord." make sure that your field looks like it's supposed to. We will make sure that there's no weeds among your good wheat. They don't know why their master allowed such a thing to take place, especially after he most certainly knew what had happened with this enemy of his. So they're ready and they're willing to put things right, to make good what the master seemingly allowed to go bad. They're going to fix the situation. What's so wrong about that? I would venture to say nothing, except for the fact that the master just tells them to leave well enough alone. This is how it is right now, he seems to say. The field is full of wheat and weeds. It's a field of good things, and it's a field of evil things. There's nothing to do about it now. He doesn't seem to be all that concerned with the weeds, or even the enemy for that matter. And this seems to be an odd thing, to say the least. Surely it would be better if there were no weeds. The wheat would grow better, produce more fruit. The weeds wouldn't be able to spread their seed and cause the wheat any harm. Wouldn't that kind of field be ideal? And this is where we want to go and extrapolate this parable into the world and into our lives, because goodness, just look at our lives and look at the world. Look at all the evil that's around us, constantly around us. Wouldn't it be better if God just did away with all of it? Wouldn't it be better if he just gave us the power to fix everything, to make everything right, to rip out all of the weeds that threaten to choke out the wheat? Or what about our epistle reading? Paul wants to compare the sufferings of this present time, the sufferings that we all must endure, the sufferings of the wheat, with the eternal glory that is to be revealed to us, which is all fine and good, but I still have a question. Why does there have to be suffering in the first place? Why can't God just make all of the suffering go away by ripping out all of the weeds whom we believe that suffering comes from? I don't know about you, but I'm pretty confident that I could make a better life for myself and probably for my neighbors around me if I just had the power to do so. An endless supply of wishes to make everything right. And aren't we allowed to root out evil from among us, to shine a light on the weeds and call them all what they are? And tell me, honestly, who among us wouldn't want to just do that? But the man, he just tells his servants to stay in their lane. "You're my servants," he said, "and it isn't given to you to do the reaping or the harvesting. I have others for that, the reapers. They'll come, they'll do their job, and don't you worry your pretty little head about it. The weeds will be separated from the wheat. They'll be burned up. The wheat will be put in my storehouse. The enemy hasn't done anything to my wheat." He thinks he has. In fact, he most certainly is counting on servants like you to go out into the field and rip up the weeds, because he knows that you'll also rip up some wheat along with it. That's what he wants, but I'm not going to give him what he wants. "You servants, just be my servants. Let the reaping alone. I have this all under control." That sounds straightforward enough. Almost as if this master of ours has already thought everything through. But has he? Has he really? Because sometimes I don't think so. Sometimes this life of mine, I'm not so sure. And this is where I have a problem with this parable, and not just the parable, but with Jesus' explanation of the parable, because I don't want to just be a simple servant who sits idly by and watches weeds grow up next to wheat. I want to be that reaper. I want to fix everything. I want to make things right. I want to be able to have the final say and rip out all of the evil around me and bind it all up to bundles and have a giant bonfire in the backyard watching the flames rise up to heaven. In my righteous indignation, I want to be able to do all of the judging, especially the final judging, to set myself in the place of God over everybody else, to separate the wheat from the weeds. But that's not given to me to do. does this mean that we just let sin abound? No, not really. We're given to call out sin, most importantly, in our lives. That's the whole log and speck thing you remember Jesus talking about elsewhere. But yes, it is true. Even the speck should, in its proper place, be pointed out. We must stand and we must speak for the things of life and marriage and mothers and fathers. We must speak against racism and sexism and all the other isms out there that are contrary to God's law. We must protect the weak and the oppressed and stand against movements and governments when they're evil. And yes, this may even lead to persecution, loss of freedom, liberty, maybe even our life. All that, yes, is given to the Christian to do. But forget about the reaping. You aren't the reaper. And most certainly forget about the fire and the furnace and all the burning. Forget about the punishment and the final judgment. That isn't given to you. It's not given to me either. And if we think that it is, if we go about our daily lives looking for vengeance, only vengeance, to make things good and right, our Lord says we'll end up with an even greater mess and problem than we had at the start. And I know we all have the best intentions to make things right, but when a 2-year-old decides that he's going to bake a cake, the only thing that can be assured is that there will be a giant mess in the kitchen and there will be no cake at the end of it. Remember, parables are about the mysteries of the kingdom of God, and mysteries of the kingdom of God are about the gospel, and the gospel is about Christ. So parables, that they're all about Jesus, who he is, what he's done, what he promises he will do. Okay, so we aren't the reapers. Can we at least be the servants in this parable? Maybe, but probably not. Wouldn't it just be better if we were wheat? Just be the wheat. Just be that passive thing in this parable that's assured to be bundled up and safely gathered and placed in the storehouse of the Master. Isn't that more comforting? In this parable, the evil one doesn't have a say who gets to be wheat. And the weeds, they don't have a say if the wheat produces any grain or not, or is going to be harvested. The good seed sown by the owner of the field will grow up to be wheat. It will receive all that it needs to support this body and life, and will receive all that it needs to produce grain. And at the right time, the good and proper time, the godly appointed time, it will be harvested by the reapers and separated from the weeds. No harm will come to it. Its future is guaranteed because it's wheat. It's always been wheat. It's always been the Lord's wheat. No, we live in a worldly field with a great deal of weeds out there. They're all around us. They're sown over top of us. And sometimes it's difficult, isn't it, to distinguish between good and evil, right and wrong, weeds and wheat. But the Son of Man, Jesus, your sower, has sown you in his field. You are children of the kingdom. And you didn't even have to root out any weeds to earn that title. You didn't have to go hunting for the sons of the evil one, or even the devil himself, and wage war against them. You don't have to make sure that everything is right and exactly how it's supposed to be, that this field of ours is ridden of all the weeds, and you certainly don't have to go out and build a giant fire and exact the punishment of God on all the things and people you think are weeds. You just get to be wheat. Righteous wheat. And righteous wheat gets to shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Don't worry. The weeds, they're going to be taken care of. More importantly, the evil one will be taken care of. He already has been. And the harvest will come. Harvests always do. Take comfort in that. And in the meantime, just do what wheat does. That is, receive from the sower his loving care, his forgiveness of sins, his cross, His resurrection, his perfect righteousness, which will cause you to grow grain, to be harvested at the good, right, and godly time. Forget about the reaping. Just be wheat. It's good to be wheat. In the name of Jesus.